Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act today because it is time for open enrollment for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. Go to healthcare.gov in South Dakota and find your choices online. We talked with Sanford Health Plans and Affordable Care Act Navigator before the break, and now we are welcoming Deb Muller. She is Chief Executive Officer of Avera Health Plans. And Deb, if anybody can make healthcare makes sense, it's always you. So thank you for coming in and talking.
You are so very welcome, Lori. It's a pleasure to be back here with everybody.
All right. Tell us a little bit. We're going to talk a little politics here because people have heard they're going to, you know, they need to sign up. The deadline is December 15th. We've talked to them a little bit about how. And let's look at some of the big picture here. The last time you were here, we were talking about CSRs and how if the Affordable Care Act would even be in existence this year at this time. So the latest
is consumers who are coming in with specific instructions from their spouse to say, get a quote for an Obamacare policy and get a quote for a Trump care policy.
Oh.
And we, the first time we received that inquiry, we were a little stumped because we weren't quite sure what they meant by a Trump care policy. So I think what we're seeing within the consumer, just in the marketplace itself, is a lot of confusion. I think that's why the Post said this morning that enrollment overall in the exchanges is down about 11% from where it was the same time last year, because people are confused about what their options are and whether or not the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, as people know it, are still the law of the land, if you would, and it is. However, there are more growing options available for people who want to go into what are called short-term limited duration programs. There are other type of programs that are out there that are being marketed as a membership program to help cover the cost of care. And since there is no longer a penalty per se for not carrying health insurance, that people are thinking, I'll just go without health insurance, or maybe I'll try this plan or that plan. And what people need to remember is that these plans don't necessarily offer comprehensive coverage at all. So you really aren't getting an insurance plan. What you're getting is potentially a membership program that is going to exclude coverage for certain types of conditions, is not guaranteed issue, and may rate you up or down based upon your health status. So it's a very confusing market right now out there for just general consumers. And I suspect it's going to be that way for quite a while. We know from the last election, and you talk about politics, we know from the last election cycle in the midterms that health insurance and healthcare coverage played a big part in that discussion overall nationally. We don't anticipate that that's going to change anytime in the future.
As we talk about those short-term limited plans, is it fair to call them that they're ACA non-compliant?
Correct. They are ACA non-compliant.
So that's an accurate description.
Mm-hmm. That is an accurate description.
You know, and one of the things I think people are confused about is there are certain things that have been structural things have been taken away from ACA, such as there's no penalty for not having it,
right.
The funding, you know, for the navigators, so there's a little bit less promotion and communication about it.
Mm-hmm.
But certain things remain.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-existing conditions still have to be covered.
Correct. You have to cover pre-existing conditions and Affordable Care Act policies, ACA policies. You need to make sure that there is no coverage on an annual basis or on a lifetime basis for the dollars that you'll pay out as an insurance company for the services that you're receiving. With limited duration plans, with some of these other membership programs, there are, in fact, those limits that are in place again with them. So the ACA plans, if you want a full coverage plan that covers preventive services and gives you protection, both for your health and your finances, you really need to be looking at an ACA-type policy.
And when we talk about short-term, how short-term?
Interesting discussion there. It falls back to state rules related to short-term duration, and that then in turn falls back to the actual individual carrier. The carrier can write a short-term policy up to 364 days, so a year in length, and potentially you can auto-renew that, or you could renew a policy twice, or potentially even longer if you can meet the underwriting standards. We're back to that old pre-2014 language of underwriting coming back into place for these short-term limited duration plans.
So some people are attracted to that kind of a plan because of some of the talking points, like I'm a man and I don't need pregnancy care, or
right.
I'm not on any medication, so
right.
I don't need to pay for this. And that's what's drawing them into that world. talk to those people who are a little bit saying, like, I don't want to be paying for mental health care if, you know, I want to be able to pick and choose.
Yes.
Except what?
You're going to see that there's going to be, for instance, a limitation on coverage of $250,000 per year of the maximum amount that the plan could pay out for you, depending upon the policy, of course. But $250,000 a year, and you walk into your physician's office and you do your lab tests and they do a scan, and all of a sudden you're finding out that you have to be on a very expensive drug regimen that's going to cost $300,000 a year. Well, you will have no coverage for that, really, to speak of. A lot of short-term medical plans that I've seen the policy documents for limit the amount of coverage that they offer, even for prescription drugs. With an Affordable Care Act policy, you're required, insurance plans are required to cover 10 essential elements, if you would, of healthcare coverage. And that includes drug coverage. Pregnancy care itself is very, very small in terms of its cost structure. What you really need to be thinking about is, what about the catastrophic? I'm in a emergency situation and I'm just traveling, will I get coverage for an emergency department and they needed to do an MRI because they needed to see if something was really broken in a certain way? And that could be $10,000, $15,000 right there in cost that may or may not be covered depending upon what day of the week it is in some short-term limited duration policies. Again, all the rules are off when it comes to short-term limited duration coverage, and it's one of those where I say, well, buyer beware. I mean, you need to think about what it is that you're purchasing when you're getting a short-term limited duration policy or when you're getting a membership-type policy.
How does this conversation affect the many, many South Dakotans who have employer funded care? So, I mean, does it benefit, like, if you know, I have my insurance through my employer, does it benefit me that people who don't are signing up on the marketplace? Does it not affect my price structure at all?
We like to say that the more people that are covered by insurance helps stabilize the cost of health insurance for everyone. That's because there isn't what is called cost shifting that has to happen in the delivery system side of the equation. And so the more people that are covered by insurance plans, the less folks are going to come into your emergency department without any kind of coverage. Those folks and the care that they're receiving still needs to be covered. That cost needs to be covered by someone. And more, before the ACA, it was becoming covered by those that were employer-based insurance products. And so the ACA policies in the individual market really helped people to get coverage who had never had coverage before, get them stabilized, get them healthy, keep them on their medication. And that helps me as a general consumer getting employer-based health insurance, because I'm not picking up the cost of those individuals by going in through the emergency room instead of going to a primary care physician's office.
Has Avera decided to provide us a short-term kind of product, a non-ACA compliant product for those consumers who are asking for? How do you make those kinds of decisions?
You have to look at what's in the best, and this is, Avera is very good at this. You have to look at what's in the best interest of the people that we're serving here within the state. Yes, we have looked at short-term limited duration policies, perhaps not as Avera Health Plans, perhaps through a different vehicle. And I say that there is a need or a fit for it for certain kinds of folks who are bridging between, when open enrollment closes, which it closes December the 15th,
right,
and people, for whatever reason, have forgotten about the deadlines, they can't get health insurance any other time of the year except with a qualifying event. Those folks need some type of coverage to at least bridge them over until they get to the next open enrollment period. And do we feel like we've got a place to play in that to be able to make sure that people retain at least some level of coverage until they can get into a fully compliant ACA plan? You bet. So we're looking at it. I mean, and those are the decisions that you have to weigh. You have to weigh the economics of it. You need to weigh the mission of it in terms of making sure that we're doing our very best that we can for the people that we're trying to serve here in the South Dakota area.
As we look at, the conversation in the U.S. House, you know, flipping toward more Democrats, mm-hmm. Were elected, what happens next with this? What are your lobbying efforts like now? What kind of conversations are you having with new congressional delegates? But what, because it's still, you know, we want the subsidies to be there. It's still a hot topic of conversation.
The tax credits are incredibly important for the individual market. The tax credits being the subsidies, as Lisa was talking about, those tax credits make it extraordinarily much more affordable for people to get individual coverage where they don't have an employer that can step up into that space. I have a contractor that I'm working with on a personal basis, and he started talking with me about what he could do for savings. And I said, well, here are the parameters of it. Got a phone call the other day and said they could save $5,000 to $6,000 a year on it. And I went, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. But that's why I always encourage people, no matter your situation, go ahead and shop and take a look at what your household income, your household size, the age of the folks within your household, all of those will make a huge difference for you in terms of what you can apply for from a tax credit standpoint. I think, and I react when I say, well, what is all of this going to do when it comes to, we've got a House that's going to be Democratic majority, we've got a Senate that's going to be Republican majority. And I say, you know what, I'm watching and being much more cautious about looking at what's happening in the judicial system right now, because there are still active cases that are out there, one of them down in Texas, that probably will be ruled on maybe in February or March of next year, that I'll be looking at and going, okay, that's interesting. That's going to potentially change some things. Everything will probably go into a suspend state as it goes through the appeal process and then eventually up to the Supreme Court. But my expectation is that probably within the next, before the end of the current administration's term in office, that we're going to see more court action on the ACA at the Supreme Court level. Or they may say, we've already ruled and we're going to stand. That, too, is a message in and of itself.
And tell me, what are some of the details? Are they looking at, you know, specific elements of the ACA? Or are they looking at the, I mean, this is
overall.
Overall.
The argument, 20 states, South Dakota is one of them, are arguing down in Texas that the ACA is no longer constitutional because the individual mandate was wiped out to zero. So if it's no longer a tax, which was the basis for the Supreme Court ruling, is just a tax, then the entire ACA should be ruled null and void because the tax no longer exists. Interesting legal arguments that are on both sides of the equation. It will be fascinating to see itself work through the process, which is why we've got a judicial system, so that there's a process in place to review these. And I'm watchful of that. I think that there's a lot there that could be impactful either way.
Do you feel that the market itself is stable and that insurance providers have a sense of how to price these things now, and we're going to see, you know, a more stability? I mean, yeah. I don't know that in South Dakota we had the ups and downs that other states had, as the sort of the crises that other states went through, largely because of Avera and Sanford and stability of those two organizations. But overall, do you think you have a handle on of like, this is how we're going to have to price these based on what we currently know, even though it could change in a heartbeat?
Very true statement on the individual side. We had 29,665 people, give or take a few, in 2017. We had 29,668 people on the exchange in 2018. Now they switch carriers back and forth because of pricing, and you know, people shop for the best benefits, best premiums, seeing how far their tax credits can go with their silver plans. But it remains stable. I think that's the most important piece of this, is that it's been a stable market here in South Dakota. And both organizations, both Avera and Sanford, are doing everything that we can to maintain its stability over the long haul. And I think, in answer directly to your question of, do you think it is finally gotten to a place where we think we can price these effectively? I do believe that is the case until something, and this has been the case with the ACA since 2010, until the federal government does something that no one was anticipating or expecting, then uncertainty comes into the equation.
Which could be Tuesday.
In
the world that we live in today, you don't know what will come
out. And so you need to be deft and you need to be comfortable.
Right.
And I think we've gotten to a place now where we know and understand the risks that are involved. But the ability to be able to provide stable, affordable health insurance through the use of the tax credits, $500 a month is not an affordable premium, but through the use of the tax credits, we understand better how it works so that we can react faster and quicker when things happen for folks.
So when you look at the big picture of this argument, and I love that I can ask you these big picture questions, but one of the consistent criticisms of healthcare in general is price transparency.
Oh.
And this whole notion that, look, we haven't solved that problem yet, and until we solve that problem, we can't get the actual cost under control. And then the other argument is, look, you hurt your arm, you can get an x-ray within an hour at an acute care, depending on the community that you live in, or you can get e-care more and more throughout the state. Are we looking at price transparency as a potential solution? Is that political rhetoric? Or is there a real tangible thing there just that says if consumers can compare the price of something and the cost of something, they can start making smarter decisions and competition increases?
What a timely question. We were just having this conversation internally last week. And our debate, and we're thinking 3 years out in terms of our planning cycle, our question is this that we wrestle to the ground. What is price transparency?
Right.
Because people have copays, people have deductibles, people have out-of-pocket maximums. If I have a $20 copay, am I really going to be pricing much? For drugs, as an example. I loved this concept of putting the drug prices on the commercials on television. and they're talking about literally doing that federally. And I'm going, that would scare a lot of folks, quite a lot, who need these drugs, because they are tens of thousands of dollars, but people don't understand that they literally are on a drug that costs tens of thousands of dollars. And so I'm not sure if there's a public good weighing out there with the consumerism piece of this. Would you delay care? I'm on a high-dollar deductible health plan myself, personally. Do I delay care? No. No, I don't delay care. I have chronic illness, so I manage that chronic illness, and I have the means to do so. But I'm also very savvy when it comes to how much things cost. And for certain types of services, I say, yep, there needs to be price transparency. But for a consumer, when they're sitting in that doctor's office, they're trusting their doctor. I'm trusting my doctor not with price transparency. I'm trusting him with my health. Do I want him to say, okay, it's this versus that because this one costs this much and this one costs that much? I probably don't. Do I want to be able to engage as a consumer more in what the cost of care is so I make good decisions? Yes. I think, though, that this is all in some way, shape, or form going to be wrapped up into what technology can do for us. To help make it easy on a smartphone app to do what Amazon did to the bookstores, to make this a easier transaction for us to understand from a financial standpoint. Mm-hmm. And that is not something that's just going to happen overnight. And is it political rhetoric or not? It's important rhetoric because we all need to understand why costs go up. Here's where I am at. Personally and professionally, we spend probably 1-2% of our healthcare dollar on low value, high volume services. Take a vitamin D test versus just giving somebody a vitamin D over the counter script and having them get it filled. For as much as it would cost me to do that lab test of $200, I could give you vitamin D for 5 years. Hmm. So why are we spending all this money on vitamin D testing? Why do we spend money doing lab panels and x-rays potentially as a routine pre-op for a cataract surgery? It didn't make much sense. There's this whole body in the medical community coalescing of physicians and talking about choosing wisely. How do we choose wisely for the protocols that we put ourselves through? And how do we make sure that we're delivering high-value, low-cost services to folks? And driving out that which is low-value, high-volume services. Is 1% or 2% a lot on a $560 a month premium? No. But you start adding it up.
Right.
And we can start making some meaningful changes to how healthcare is, how the healthcare dollar is consumed.
Right. And so for those of us, it's not so much of saying, I need an MRI. should I go here or should I go here? What's the price of that MRI? It's more about it's more about thinking about, am I getting the preventative care that I need so that, because that is going to, getting my mammogram is going to be a heck of a lot cheaper than, and, you know, better for my personal health, but also way more affordable than waiting for 4 years and then finding out I have a catastrophic problem that really could have been dealt with more affordably earlier. So it's a little bit less about saying, is my mammogram cost how much? It's about thinking in a big picture about
why
your
jump
health.
To a $6,000 MRI if it's about back pain and you could do some PT initially and it can resolve 60% of the issues for maybe $600-$700.
Right. Is that the doctor's responsibility, the insurance company's responsibility, the patient's responsibility?
Everybody's responsible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the community that needs to be about talking about affordability. It's a community. It's not anyone with a silver bullet.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is part of the rhetoric here is everybody wants to find the silver bullet. There is no silver bullet. It is a community that works toward the end of affordability for healthcare.
And sometimes they just want to find the silver bullet to shoot each other. I mean, they're looking for blame. Sometimes the rhetoric is not necessarily about solution. It's about blame
and
getting votes, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a complex problem.
Yeah, I like to stay out of the politics of
right.
it because the policy piece of it is much more helpful, I think, toward people.
All right. So any final things, ACA, the deadline is December 15th. You need to be on that deadline. You'll be automatically renewed in the program that you currently have. This is your, if you don't renew.
It is worthwhile shopping. That is what I have to say. It is worthwhile shopping. Please go out there. Please hit the deadline of December the 15th. Please be buyer beware for others of these programs that are out there. And small groups, shop too.